Appreciate the opportunity to be here. I have looked forward, Kimberly and I both have looked forward to this week. I love and appreciate Mountain View Church. Been coming here a number of years and had some wonderful, wonderful times here in the Lord. I don't have the words to tell you just what your pastor means to me. I think he knows that. And I think, well, ain't no doubt in my mind, if Randy's got it this week, one night or two, I know he'll go ahead. But if it falls our lot, my main objective this week is just to tell you about Jesus. I mean that too. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to share Jesus with you. And enjoy Jesus with you. It's all about Christ. And He is, no doubt about it, He's my life. He's my life. And without Him, oh, how lost I would be. I'm going to need some help, your prayers and Christ, because I'm weak in body a little bit. I come out of a week or a half a week of revival last week, and I feel like I'm just all crooked up. But I know that if Christ will help us, it'll be okay. There's a lot I could say, but I just feel like getting right into the Scripture tonight. John chapter 4. The Gospel of John chapter 4. Of course, Brother Chris brought a wonderful message last night out of this chapter. He, if I'm not mistaken, read the 29th verse, maybe, about coming and seeing the man. Get me a swig of water here. And there's no way that I could preach this whole chapter. Nevertheless, I'm going to read most of it. And we may just pick around here and there. But there is a thought that's on my heart. And you pray the Lord will help us get to it. And I hope tonight, if there's someone here in need of Christ, that you'll see a little bit of yourself in this story. Because I tell you, I have certainly seen a lot of me in it. I think there's a little of all of us in this story. And read with me, if you will. John 4, verse number 1. If I don't do any preaching at all tonight, just the reading of this story, I believe, will bless your heart. I really do believe it. And I'm not talking about my reading. I'm talking about the story of Jesus and the woman at Jacob's well. It is a remarkable story. There is more to this story than what meets the eye. And it's not that I'm trying to get every little nugget and everything. It's not that. There's just some things that I was sitting here last night listening to Chris, and it just some things got to stirring, and I can't help but leave some of it with you tonight. Verse number 1 of John 4. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that hath sowed, that soweth, and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Isn't that wonderful? If I don't preach a lick tonight, that right there ought to bless your heart. And you ought to be able, as I do, to see your own self, maybe a little bit of your own story and your own life in that very wonderful story that I've read to you here this evening. I don't know tonight if I'll drive home on your particular story or your particular life, but I can tell you from my own personal experience, Brother Bruce, that I was a man one day who was thirsty. I was thirsty. Amen. And you may be a woman tonight who is thirsty. But listen, my friend, Jesus had a way here of tapping in to the thirst that this woman had. He did. I don't know if you've ever been around people when they were eating or not. They're eating something good and they act like they're enjoying it. After a few minutes, you'll say, You're making me hungry. You're making me hungry. I've been around people on my job and they went over and got a bottle of water or a cold drink or a Coca-Cola. And the next thing you know, just watching them and looking at them and listening to them makes me thirsty and makes me want to get a drink tonight. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did here at the Jacob's well. He started something inside of this woman. He developed a thirst within her, and he did it through natural drinking water. Amen. Just natural drinking water. Jesus lived and he walked and he talked in the earthly realm just like you and I do. He drank water and he ate bread. He slept and he exercised and he done everything that in the common, ordinary, fleshly world, you and I do the very same things. But listen, my friend, everything that he did, my friend, was teaching a lesson, my friend, about the spiritual things of God. He came to this well, and my friend, he was tired and weary on his journey, and he was up north in the country of the Samaritans. And this woman came out, the scripture plainly says, at the 6th hour of the day. That's noontime. That was high noon. That's a time of day when the sun was burning at its very hottest. And I'll get back to that in just a minute. But when he came here and he sat on this well, about the 6th hour, this woman came all by herself with a little water pot to get some water and draw it out of the well called Jacob's. And my friend, when she got there, Jesus broke some barriers, my friend, right off the very bat. He did. You might say, well, preacher, what barriers did he break? Simply by asking a question, give me something to drink. That's all he said. Just give me something to drink. And my friend, well, there were several boundaries and several barriers that Jesus crossed over right off the bat. Yes, sir. First of all, she had a problem in that she was
coming to draw water in the middle of the day. She had something, some kind of stigma on her life that wouldn't allow her to come there in the early part of the morning when all the women came to draw water. And she had to come all by herself right in the middle of the hot day. And my friend, so in other words tonight, what I'm saying to you is she was a sinner. And if you might say, preacher, I don't see myself in that story. Well, right there includes every one of us. She was a sinner. Randy, I was a sinner. And not just sinful, I mean a sinner. She lived in sin. She practiced sin. For a woman in the Jewish culture in the first century to have had five husbands and living with one that was not even married to her, would have put her in a place where she would have been more or less an outcast in her time. I mean, I'm not talking about just sinful folks. She was plain downright a sinner. She was a sinner. Yeah. Ain't you glad Jesus talks to sinners? Amen. I'm glad He does. My friend, you say, preacher, is that it? And she had more again her than that. And yes, she did. And she was a woman. Don't get mad at me now. Let me finish my thought before you get mad at me. And she was a woman. And in them days, men didn't talk to women. And men sure didn't talk to women alone. Things has changed a lot, hadn't they? And they really have. But men didn't talk to women alone. And when a man and woman met at a well, that sounded a little bit like Jacob. That sounded a little bit like Moses. I met my wife at a well, come to think of it. Yeah. When a man meets a woman at a well, it meant something in them days. And my friend, listen to me. And women didn't have the same standings in society as they do today. Now that don't mean that women didn't have their place, and it didn't mean that they weren't important. Because listen to me, it was the woman here that went back into town and told the men. Amen. And I'll just throw this in for good measure. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the first people to get there was the women. And the women went back and told the men that they had seen the Lord Jesus alive. Amen. But ain't you glad Jesus talks to women tonight? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Not only that, Jesus taught women. I remember when Jesus came to the home of Mary and Martha, and Martha was up working and serving, encumbered about serving, but praise the Lord, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Thank God Jesus taught the women. Yes, He did. Yeah. 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 There was more. There was more boundaries. And the moment Jesus asked her to give Him a drink of water, praise the Lord, you know what she said? She said, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, has dealings with a Samaritan?" She said, "I'm a Samaritan woman, and Sandra, the Jews, have no dealings with Samaritans." Now, who were the Samaritans? And they were of the 10 tribes. tribes of Israel that had been scattered and depopulated and repopulated and mixed up in amongst the Gentiles. And to the Jews of that day, the Samaritans were not much better than the Gentile dogs. But Jesus said, I come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. And that's what he came for. And so today, he was willing to deal with Samaritans. He was willing to talk to a woman. And glory be to God, he came to seek and save sinners today. Paul the apostle said that Christ Jesus came to save sinners because I myself was the chief of sinners. And with one question, just give me a drink. With one question, Christ stepped right over some boundaries. He crossed over some things. Listen, that had never been crossed over before. And listen, by doing that, he got her to thinking. And he got her to talking. And my friend, there's one thing about Jesus that I want you to know and understand tonight. He was so good. He was so good at eliciting a response out of the human heart. Amen. Hey, thank God, Bruce, I might ask you a question and I may never get the truth out of you. But Jesus had a way of digging deep into the very heart of people. And thank God, when God demands an answer from you, He's going to get an answer out of you. Yeah. And the Lord started digging. He started digging. Yeah. My friend, at first she made light of it. At first all she said was, yeah, give me this living water that I'd never have to come to this old well and draw water again. Give me some of that. Are you greater than our father Jacob that dug this well and drew water out of this well and watered himself and his family and all of his cattle? And then she come up with this. She said, this well is very deep and you don't have a thing to draw water with. Amen. And but listen, my friend, Jesus went a little deeper. Amen. He said, go and call your husband. Yeah. And when that happened, as she perceived he was a prophet. He was a prophet too, by the way. And you say, preacher, how was Jesus a prophet? He read her heart. He read her heart because he knew what was in the heart of man. He read her like a book. He knew what was in her heart. He knew what was down deep. And my friend, and praise God, sister, that's when the light came on. I heard a lot of things in church growing up. And I hate to say it, but there's a lot of people been brought to church all their whole life and ain't never been made no better for it. Never been way, they just sat there their whole life. I don't know why. I don't understand why. I sat there too for a long time until one day I started getting thirsty. Yeah. One day I started getting thirsty. And praise God, I still remember the day when the light came on. Amen. Preacher, it don't say nothing in there about a light coming on. Well, there it was. There was a light came on. When he said, go call your husband, she realized she met a man who could read her heart. And the light came on. And she did just exactly what most of us do when we realize that somebody knows us. She changed the subject. And a lot of people change the subject. They'd rather argue than get down to the truth.
Do you know that? A lot of folks rather argue than get to the truth. Amen. It don't matter what the book says. I've had people tell me just as much. It don't really matter what the book says. It don't matter what you think. It really don't matter what I think. What matters is what this book right here says. Amen. Well, listen to me. Instead of getting to the truth of the matter, she said, brought up an old argument whether or not Yahweh could be worshipped at Jerusalem or out there in Mount Gerizim in the land of the Samaritans. Yes. That was an old argument, been going on a long time. Yeah, you remember way back when they built that calf up in Dan. Yeah, and said, this is where we ought to worship God at. And you men of Judah ought to come up here. And they said, no, it's Jerusalem. And praise God, it is Jerusalem. Jesus said, we know what we worship. Salvation comes through the Jews. Amen. He said, he didn't mind telling her the truth, did he? I don't mind trying to love on people, but praise God, I'm going to tell them the truth because they told me the truth. And she said, he said, woman, you don't know what you're even worshiping.
That's right.
You don't even know what you're worshiping, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You know how he put an end to that argument? He went beyond Gerizim. He went beyond Jerusalem. He went on up to Messiah. Amen. He went on up to Messiah. He said, woman, the hour is coming. And listen, now is. Something had begun. Do you know that? Something had already begun. Amen. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you get to the end of that chapter and you know what starts coming up? Harvest. Harvest starts coming up. Amen. Amen. You want to know what that harvest he was talking about was? It was the harvest way back there in Hosea. It was the harvest back there in the book of the prophet Isaiah. God promised he was going to set a harvest for them people and gather them back to himself. Thank God when the Samaritans believed. Praise God, harvest had begun. It had begun. The harvest had begun. Yeah. How so, preacher? Because he began to gather in. Yeah. Gather in. Through the preaching of the gospel, preacher. He's got to gather us over there somewhere. Praise the Lord. What did he tell her? You ain't going to worship at Jerusalem. It ain't going to be at Gerizim. Where are we going to worship God at? Where are we going to meet at? In spirit and in truth. That ain't a place. Well, it's a place, but it ain't a geographical place. It ain't on the map. That's the reason a lot of people ain't ever found it. They're looking on the map. You don't look on the map. You got to look in the Word of God. And the meeting place is where Jesus is at, folks. And folks, where Jesus is at is in the midst of the golden candlesticks. He's right here in the midst of his church, which is his body. So he took her. Well, he done more than win the argument. He took her beyond all that, and he just set her straight. By the time he got done with that, not only did she know that he knew her like a book, she realized he was Messiah. Or at least she had a pretty good... She started really getting thirsty for it. She said, we know, I know that Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And he looked at her and said, woman, I who speak to you am He. You ever asked yourself if the life as a Christian that you live makes other people thirsty? It ought to. It ought to make people around you thirsty. It ought to make people around you want what you got. It ought to develop in people a thirst. And that's what Jesus was doing, Jeff. He was getting her thirsty. He started out just talking about natural water. Give me a drink. Then he got deeper and deeper till she realized that he had more than just water from a well. He had living water. He had everlasting life. You know what's wonderful about it? I talked about Jesus breaking boundaries. Let me tell you something. He broke some boundaries too. When he came from glory down here in this world, he didn't say, give me a drink for nothing. Thank God he did get a drink of our water. Amen. Did he not, Daniel? Did he not come to drink of our water too?
Yeah.
I read in my Bible where they crucified him between two malefactors on an old wooden Roman cross. And they'd done their very worst to him. And in the day, the time that he was about to give up the ghost, one of his final sayings on the cross was, I thirst. And ain't you glad, Mountain View Church, that he was willing to drink that bitter cup? Amen. Ain't you glad he was willing to drink our water? Amen. That's another thing. For a Jewish man to say, give me a drink out of your water pot, that was another no-no. There was a saying, you can look it up if you don't believe me. There was a saying for a Jew in that day and time that you don't need to even eat one mouthful of food from a Samaritan. That'd be just about the same as eating the flesh of a pig.
Yeah.
That's how they felt about him.
Yeah.
Thank God he said, just give me a drink of water. I'll drink out of your pot.
I'm glad that he came and he drank our water. He experienced mine and your pain, our suffering, our grief, everything that you and I have known. Folks, don't sit there tonight and think God don't understand you. He don't know about your life, your problems, your miseries. Thank God, God understands everything about me and you.
He understands. He understands. But I'm glad in return he was willing to give us a drink of living water. And he said, if any man drink of the water that I shall give him, it'll be in him a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. By the time this conversation was over, she got real thirsty. Thirsty for the true, thirsty for the true thirst. That's the message that I wanted to ask you tonight. What are you truly thirsty for? What are you truly, truly? What's the real thirst of all people, all mankind? It's the thirst for Jesus. It's the thirst for the Spirit of life. And only He has that living water. Only He has it. Now His disciples came back. And they was amazed that He was talking to the woman. What it says. They just couldn't believe He was talking to a woman, but they didn't ask Him. They didn't ask Him. But they were amazed. He knew what they were thinking too. No man asked Him, what are you doing? But they were amazed that He talked to the woman. They had went to get something to eat and they came back and they tried to press Him to eat something and He said, I don't need it. I've got meat that you don't know nothing about. They asked, well, has anybody gave Him anything to eat? No. But He said, my meat's to do the will of the Father. Yeah. Are you thirsty tonight? Are you making other people thirsty by what you've got? Are you developing a thirst? Jesus was the master at that. He knew how to do it. He knew how to get to the heart of the matter. He got me thirsty one day. And I'm so glad He was willing to give me a drink. That's the message, Randy. I know it might be a little scattered, might be a little strange, but that's what the Lord laid on my heart. Now I want to ask them to come get a verse, if they will. I want to ask the congregation to stand and pray. And I want to ask you something tonight. Do you have that thirst? Maybe you're here and you've been thirsting a long, long time. And you need that drink. You know, there's an old preacher by the name of Jake Cash. Some of you probably know him. I didn't hear him say this, but I heard somebody tell me one time that Brother Jake said that you could give a person a brand new car and in a few years they'd want another one. You could give somebody $1 million and they just want $1 million more. He said, but if they just get one good drink of the water of life, they'll never thirst again. That's about the truth, ain't it? It's about the truth. What did the back of the book say? Any man's thirst, that is a thirst, let him come to me. Whosoever's thirsty, let him come. Take of the water of life freely. Take of the water of life freely. You know this, she had to know a little bit about the Scriptures. The Scriptures had talked about this very incident. Remember that from Isaiah? Draw ye water from the wells of salvation. Folks, ain't it good today that you don't just have to come to church at Mountain View on a Monday night and get a drink. Thank God He put a well in there. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so deep and so vast, you'll never exhaust it. You'll never get it all out. It's a never-ending supply. He said, I'll put it in you. I'll put it in you. When you need a drink, just go get a drink. Isn't that something? Just go get a drink. Some people won't even do that. They won't even do that. Just go get a drink. Why about it tonight? Are you thirsty? Are you truly thirsty? Well, Jesus has a drink. Preacher, Jesus don't know nothing about me, and you don't neither. I don't know much about nobody here. I really don't. But I know Jesus knows the heart of everyone. There's something, ain't there something right now searching your heart? It's searching right now, digging deeper. And you're getting thirstier and thirstier and thirstier. Get you a drink. It's free. It's free. It's free. She went back to the town, told the men, told everybody. And Jesus noticed what was going on. He said, look out them fields. Look out at them. They was coming. They was coming. They's thirsty too. They've been waiting on that too. And when they came, the Samaritans believed. Man, a harvest began right then and there. As we stand, as we sing. Randy, you come on. That's the message.